You can decide today that these family curses are going to stop with me, because just like Josiah did, Josiah was only 8 years old and he decided to walk with God and he decided to find a role model worth following. And I'm here to tell you, young person, you can make a decision today. I'm not going to be like my daddy or my mommy. I am going to walk with Jesus.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching, the timeless Word of God, will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In last week's message, Pastor Brian Grant took us back to the account of the life of good King Josiah to show how becoming a change agent begins with a repentant heart that is willing to come to grips with the fact that the changes God intends to make are not always about the other person. In the second part of that message we will be hearing this week, Pastor Grant will go into the important and life-changing choices this young man made that broke the bonds of the sins of the past and turned him into a change agent for God. If you have your Bibles, turn with us now to the book of 2 Chronicles as we hear the second part of Pastor Grant's message, Becoming a Change Agent, as he looks at the choices made by young Josiah and how those very same choices still matter for us today. Here now is Pastor Grant.
There's nobody in your family worth following. Oh, what a tragedy. What a tragedy in our society that there are young people who are being raised in families that there is no one worthwhile following. It is a tragedy. But I want to tell you, one of the reasons why we're operating here at GCA is by God's grace. We're trying to touch our community and reach our community and bring them into an environment where they can see men and women, husbands and wives, walking with God, and they can model people who have decided to follow Jesus. Young person, look at your church family and find somebody who you can hang around with, who can show you the ways and the path of righteousness. Amen. But third thing, age is not a determinant to our usefulness to God. The Bible says in verse number 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and I'm just going to park here in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 for the rest of the message. The Bible says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young. This guy was only 16 years old, and he made a decision he was going to live for God. I have a feeling that there are a lot of people here that are more than 16. Have you made the decision yet that you're going to live for God? Young person, God wants to fashion a masterpiece out of your life. Don't mess it up. Satan is determined that God should not make this masterpiece out of your life. Satan is determined to pull you all sorts of directions and get you to follow the wrong person. Here's what Jesus says. He says, the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says, I have come that you might have what? Have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. God desires to give you abundant life. What are you waiting on? Jesus wants to give you life and give you life that's more abundant. And this morning I'm begging you, I am urging you to get serious with God today. Come to Jesus. That's the encouragement for change agents. But there are some choices that change agents need to make. And this is really what I want to focus on. Before I bring this message to a close, your choices matter. Your choices impact your future. Choices matter. Key choices, though, that Josiah made that I don't want us to miss. Number one, we must get rid of sinful practices and temptations in verse number 3, in the 8th year of his reign, this 16-year-old began to seek the God of his fathers. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah. He was only 20 years old, and he's now bold enough to get rid of all of these things that were idol worship, things that would distract him. He got rid of the Asherah poles, the idols, the cast image. Under his direction, the word of God says that the altars of Baal were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars above them and smashed all of them. Listen, he got rid of the stuff. I'm going to say to you that if we're really serious about following God wholeheartedly, there's some stuff we got to get rid of. You know, for some of us, we're going to have to deal with this thing called pornography. I heard on the news this week that many of the hotels, and in fact I heard that the Playboy magazine will no longer be showing naked women in their magazines. Oh, before you get too happy, guess why? The reason they're not showing naked women in their magazines is because people are watching naked women on the internet so much for free. They can't make any money doing it in the magazines because it's so free. That sort of piqued my interest. So I did some research, and I went on a website, covenanteyes.com, and they said that according to their study, 64% of Christian men watch pornography every month. 64%! By the way, 15% of Christian women are also involved. Don't tell me, sir, madam, don't tell me you're really serious about following Jesus if when folks are not listening, watching. You see, that's the danger of all these things. Young person, older person, I beg you, this will destroy your life. These things are addictive. And I am telling you, when these things will come back to harm you. And listen, this is not a message about just about pornography. I'm just using this as an illustration of some of the stuff we've got to get rid of. I don't know what it is in your life that is distracting you. Get rid of it. But secondly, we must have a repentant heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 15. The word of God says, Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. And you remember from the reading in verse number 19, that when the king heard the words of the Lord, he tore his robe. Can you imagine that the Old Testament scriptures, the book of the law, was found? The Bible was found? The Bible was lost. It was a big deal. The king is now finally hearing the book of the law being read to him. He is blown away by what God says. You know, my little phrase we used to have in our bulletin once, it says, either the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will keep, listen, the more you spend time in the Word of God, it has a cleansing effect. The Bible will keep you from sin or sin. If you want to keep practicing sin, after a while you don't even want to read the Bible. No wonder these people were in such a mess. The book of the law was lost. Let's never be satisfied with 70%. Do you know, sometimes as Christians we say, well, I'm doing better than brother so-and-so. I'm doing better than sister so-and-so. Josiah was living for God. But when he heard the word of God, he realized there were some areas of his life that were still off target. And the Bible says, when he heard the word of the Lord, he tore his clothes. That was his public sign of repentance. He tore his clothes because there were some areas that were out of line. Are you so sure everything is in line? Is there some stuff? The psalmist David said, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I want to know, God puts the searchlight on your heart and in my heart. What is he going to see? Is he going to see anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and pride? Oh God, I don't want to go that way. I want to repent, oh God. Create in me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart. We must have a repentant heart. If we're going to be God's change agents, there's some stuff we've got to get rid of. But secondly, we must have a repentant heart. But thirdly, if we're serious about being a change agent for God, we must make worship a priority. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 8 tells us that Josiah decided to repair the temple. I just want you to know, you may miss this, but I just want you to know that Josiah's decision to repair the temple was a big deal. 100 years, no repairs had been done on the temple. Can you imagine that? The temple, which is supposed to be such an important place of worship, for over 100 years, nobody had repaired it. None of the previous kings. And verse 11 tells us that the temple had fallen into ruin. Worship was not a priority. What a bunch. I mean, doesn't it blow your mind that this is God's people? Before you get too hard, sometimes you take a look at the church. The church, the so-called Church of Jesus Christ worldwide, what a mess we're in. But here we are, this bunch of God's people. The book of the law was lost. The Bible was lost. The temple was in ruin. And the Passover had taken a back seat. I won't have time to go there. You read it, 2 Chronicles 35, verse 17 to 19. The Passover, who needs that? But despite the bad example set for him, Josiah decided to make worship a priority.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
One of the verses in the Bible that every time I read it, it sort of moves me. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 23. We're not going to look at it, but in John 4, 23, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and he talks about the fact that those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then he says this, "The Father seeketh such to worship him." And every time I see that, it shakes me. That the Almighty God is seeking for worshipers. The Almighty God is seeking for worshipers. And sadly, he can't even find those who he has saved by his grace. We need to make public worship a priority. We need to make a decision. Listen, God is calling on some of you to make a decision to be in his house every week. You know, if most of us, if our fridge stopped working for a day or two, it would bother us. We wouldn't say, well, it works most of the time. If you decided not to pay your last two Pico bills, do you think it would bother Pico? So why is it that we feel it shouldn't bother God when we choose to worship God? If I feel like coming once every 2 months, 3 months, just take what you can get, God. Just take what you can get. The people of God had put worship on the back seat. But this man, Josiah says, I am going to worship a priority. Public worship. But we also need to make private worship a priority. because in some of our homes, the temple is in ruin. There are times some of us used to have family devotions and personal devotions. The rat race is so hectic, we don't have time to do that. Some of us, your mom and dad at dinner time would read the scripture, but in your home, that's done. God is saying, it is time to make worship a priority. And this Family and Friends Day, God is saying, it is time to rebuild His temple. But finally, we must live a consecrated life. Choice number four. So what did we say so far? Choice number one, we must get rid of some stuff. Choice number two, we must have a repentant heart. Choice number three, we must make worship a priority. If I really expect God to make me a change agent where I will be the one impacting others, these are prerequisites. But point number four, I must live a consecrated life. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 29 to 31. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Israel, the priests, all the people of the... He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the temple of the Lord. Can you imagine? The king takes the Bible, the Old Testament scripture, the law. He takes it, he reads it, and the king himself stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commandments, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. The king was making a consecration. The king was saying, God, I am going to follow you with all my heart and all my soul. I am going to obey you. And today, God is calling us to consecrate our lives to Him. You say, Brother Brian, what is consecration? Consecration is giving my life to God to do His will instead of my own. It means I present my body to Him as a sacrifice. As I prepared, I couldn't help think what humility this must have meant. That the king in front of all the people is saying, I am committing to following God. Do you know one of the challenges why we sometimes don't give God our lives? Do you know it's a thing called pride? Do you know some people feel, I really don't need to do that because I'm okay. I'm a good person. I've got it together. But you know, let me ask you this. I want you to take me seriously. I ask this question a lot. But if you died today and you stood before God and He asked you this question, sir, madam, why should I let you into my heaven? If you were standing before God and He asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you answer? Oh, some people say, well, you know, Brother Brian, I would let him know that I've been a good person. I would let him know that I've been a very generous person. I have given to the poor. I've done a lot of good social action. I'm a church member. I'm a deacon. I don't want to disappoint you. But based on what Jesus said, if that's the best stuff you've got, if that's your best answer, God is going to say, depart from me. I really don't know you. That sounds harsh. That's why He's giving you an opportunity to get to know Him now. And I tell you, I'm so glad that I know that I know that God knows me. He knows my name. You say, how do you know He knows your name? Because He actually wrote my name in His book. Is your name in the book? Are you sure your name is in the book? This is stuff you don't want to hope your name is in the book. I hope it is. I didn't say I hope it is. I said I know my name is in the book. Are you sure your name is in the book? Man, if you're not sure your name is in that book, you better make sure today. You said, Brother Brian, how do you think you're so special? What makes you so special that you talk about you know your name is in the book? Oh, I ain't special at all. But I go by the book. That's why I love this book. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. Here's what it says. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. As many! Oh, a little 9-year-old boy, the streets of Jamaica. A 9-year-old boy, just 1 year older than Josiah. Said to God, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, God heard my prayer. Christ saved my soul. And oh, I've lived knowing for sure that my name is written in heaven. I know for sure I am part of the family of God. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have that assurance? If not, there's room at the cross for you. Songwriter says, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. And oh, I'm so glad that he has made me a minister of the gospel of Christ to say to a dying world, there is room. There's room. Young man, there's room. Young lady, there's room. Older person, there is room. But listen, it's going to take a decision on your part. You have got to say, Lord Jesus, I'm so glad you died for my sin. Today, I receive your life. But there are some Christians who need to do something too. As God brings the service to a close, he's not only speaking to those who are not sure of heaven, he's speaking to those of us who are sure. And he's saying, will you consecrate your life to me?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.